up in the red room.
Before the stars can be paid, there gotta be a dope ass story on the page. Let the beast about the cage, that light about the dark. Can you build the inferno from an itty bitty spark? Coffee shop hustlers rise with the cream. A million other writers, same Hollywood dream. Your pen and paper all like bullets in the gun. Write what you feel, say what you want in the red room. We say what we say, we do what we feel. We gotta keep it real
in the red room.
All about the crap of screenwriting. I fill my bottle up with lightning up in the red room.
So look, if you guys are grown, let's go ahead and get in. What's up, y'all? It's your boy, Hilliard Guest, and you guys are listening to the Screenwriters Rant Room. We keep it real, we keep it opinionated, we keep it what, everybody?
2016.
Damn, we got a chorus in here and shit. You hear that? Okay, like the Little Boys Choir of Harlem or some shit. On this show, we discuss entertainment, TV, film, music, culture, but our focus is always screenwriting, stories, craft, and shit like that. So you hear her.
Mm-hmm.
Little Miss Squeaky over
there.
Yes.
Little Miss what?
I don't know. What you know, who, shit just be coming out of
is?
My head.
Who that is?
I ain't got no drain brain cells.
Mm-hmm. Tis I.
The Predator's cousin.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Hickama.
Medusa's twin.
Okay,
sister.
Medusa's twin. Okay. Yes.
Lisa Bolakowski.
Hey, what's up?
Ho.
What's up? What's up?
What's up, girl?
Woo! One more week of work and I got winter break. Okay, and you know what that
off.
Means? You know what it means?
Party time.
Human burrito. Watching my movies, reading my books. I got a list of stuff to catch up on. I got shows I got to catch up on.
Mm.
I got to do another draft of my script. My horror slasher hiking black chicks out in the woods.
Okay.
So you know I got stuff to do.
All right. I got more pages.
Yeah.
Coming to
please.
Yes.
I'm sitting here like. Send me more pages. Send me more pages.
I'm trying to get to fade out before I send it to you. That's the
okay.
Thing, so. Anyway, that's Lisa Bolakowski, mm-hmm. y'all. And sitting into I know.
What's wrong with
sitting
you?
Sitting in today with us, Lauren Warren.
Do you need a cookie?
Huh?
You need a cookie? Give him some sugar.
I do.
She needs some milk.
Can you set that down? Because it's been sticking up and I'm taking pictures.
Oh, and blocking your view?
Yeah. I can't see her.
I see that. I can still see you.
I don't
just
think
so
can.
You know.
Know.
Yeah. Don't get cute. Don't get
Shut
cute, Hickama.
We got Lauren Warren, you guys from Nerds of Prey, Black Girl Nerds, and all that. You know who that is over there, don't you?
Yes,
see?
I do.
Everybody know.
Oh, wow.
I told you were somebody. If you don't know, now
well, you know.
Yes. Hello.
Lauren Warren in the house, all the way from Toronto.
That's right.
Writer, soon to be producer, all of that stuff. Director, you about to direct.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You need to be checking out this one over here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She got some skills.
Yeah.
Trust me. I looked you up, girl.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't get your name right, bitch. But I looked you up.
I looked the bitch up,
okay? I was like, okay. She's trying to put the camera in a cool spot. I see. She's trying to write some dope rhymes over there.
Mm-hmm.
We might have to have you give us those bars you was doing on your audition thing you did for Project Greenlight. One of them things you did, Sundance. It was off
yes.
the chain.
I ain't got nothing.
I heard them bars.
Today.
I heard them
not
bars.
Not today?
She's like, I got to memorize down
get some
everything.
Sugar in you.
All right.
That's what's up. Welcome to the show, Lauren. We appreciate having
Thank
you.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you for coming in. So today, if you guys are grown, let's go ahead and get it in. So we got my girl over here.
Who his name has the same name of my cousin. Down in Mississippi, which I love. Shaquita!
Oh, I saw what you did there.
Yeah.
You don't know who you're dealing with, do you?
I love it!
Don't let Hickory off the
hook. I know.
Hello,
Hickory.
Shaquita L. Smith.
Yes.
Writer.
Mm-hmm.
Director.
Yes.
Producer.
Yes.
What else?
Comic book.
Author, what do
yes.
you call it?
Creator.
I like that word.
She's a content creator.
Yes.
Exactly.
Black woman
exactly.
doing things.
Doing shit.
And I'm excited. Because it's a comic book.
Yes.
Besides all the writing stuff, but mm-hmm. the fact that, you know, you're a black woman,
and it's a black female lead,
and it's action,
ooh, mm-hmm. this
intrigue.
Will be good.
It's got like she kicking butt. Stuff is going on,
mm-hmm.
and it was based on a script you wrote, right?
Yeah.
Because I'm sitting here thinking I can see it as a movie, and I'm like, can I be the person in the background that goes, the bad guy went that way? Everybody who does a movie, that's all I want. They went that way. That's all I want. so I get my SAG credentials. I don't know what the SAG rules are. Like, is it how many lines you get or whatever?
No,
or
you just have to have a speaking role.
Okay.
Really? And,
yeah. Or be a principal.
Be a principal. Right? Yeah.
Hmm. There they go.
A principal doesn't always have a line.
So I can get it with three words. Okay. I can get it with three words. There they go.
Maybe yes. Five.
Yes. Well, it's just awesome. Called an under five or it's a co-star.
Okay. Very good. So, yeah. So let's get into it.
So what's up, girl? Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah. So where are you coming in from? Where are you at? I need you a little closer to the mic, though.
Where am I at? Like, here in
LA. Where you from? Where you live, girl?
I'm from North Carolina, but I live in Sherman Oaks.
Oh, yeah. Valley girl.
Valley.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
She did kind of come in here like, oh, my God. Like,
and can I just say, and I love the look because you're giving me, like, 80s flashbacks to how I dressed.
Okay.
Like, with the Boy George.
You know that
hat,
was me.
For a second there, on the earrings, me. I'm like, if she got keys on her earrings, she is rocking the Janet Jackson. And then the polka dots, like, it just bring me back to my 80s girlhood.
Yeah, she's giving Depeche Mode, The Cure.
No, look,
she's
when I used to dance
right
on American
now.
Bandstand, yes. Like, that was my ensemble. Yes. And I'm like, I am reliving everything. Thank you so much. It just warms my heart.
Yes. I'm an 80s baby, so I'm trying to take it back a little bit.
So just give us a little rundown of where you're from and how you got into the game.
Okay, so I'm from...
That's enough. So,
you stupid.
You gotta be on your P's and Q's, girl.
No behavior this one, none.
I'm teasing.
I'm from Salisbury, North Carolina. It's a small town in North Carolina outside of Charlotte.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I was born and raised there. I moved out here 2 years after college, 2004, so kind of old. A little bit. And I came out here to write screenplays. So I started writing in college. I worked for I was promoted for Def Jam in college. And
what you was
teacher,
doing at Def Jam?
I was promoting.
Oh, promoting at Def Jam. Got it.
And DMX. I was in the college.
Wow, one of
school.
The. Wow, look at you.
So what you really want with a nigga?
Yeah, that.
I'm not going to bark.
You know you want to bark.
I almost did.
She knows she
want to
bark.
I'm not going to do that. I'm going to save something for later. But yeah, so I was doing that in college. And then they asked me when I got to my senior year, you ready to come to New York? And so my freshman year, I wrote a play that my English professor thought was really good. Mm-hmm. And she wrote on there, you should really consider screenwriting. Mm. And I was like, what the hell is screenwriting? And so it took me 4 years to get to my senior year to realize what that was. And so my roommate from freshman year, she was like, I want to apply to the Disney Fellowship. Mm-hmm. So I was helping her look up information for it. So I was like, well, I should try to see if I can write a
You're like, if she could do it,
okay,
I could
do it.
Okay, she can do it. See what I can do over
here.
So I wrote a TV spec, and so I didn't get into Disney, of course. But after that, I was like, I should write a screenplay. So I wrote a screenplay, I submitted to Sundance, and I was a finalist in the Storytellers writing program. And I was like, okay, I should take this seriously.
Mm-hmm.
And so then I didn't go.
First of all, let me tell you, that's big time.
That's big time.
Yeah.
The first script I wrote got me in the same thing. I made it all the way to the final cut.
Yeah.
20 motherfuckers left. So that's big.
And the irony is,
that tells you what level you're writing on to get that far.
Yeah.
Because when they first started out years ago and they started having those, like, I didn't realize what a big thing that was. Because you're just thinking, oh, it's just this. And then you look and you're like, oh, shit.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like,
your name gets on the list.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
So that's what actually gave me the confidence to pursue it and to move out here. So I kept writing. Raven Choi was probably the second script I ever wrote.
Okay.
So this was written, like, 13 years ago.
So you wrote it as a script before you
wrote it?
I wrote
it as a screenplay, yeah.
Okay.
And so I was reading all these books on bounty hunting and thought, you know, I should be a bounty hunter. And my uncle was like,
Wait, in your real life?
Really?
Yeah, in real life, I was thinking about this.
Wait, she's like, I can find it.
This wasn't script research. This is your real life.
Okay. Like,
this is her real life. Yes. I can do this.
Like, let's do this.
I see showrunner already.
Okay.
Hear me out. Hear me out. I always predict shit.
Okay.
Watch. There's something there. Watch.
Okay.
Go ahead, though.
Okay, so my uncle was
I want my 10%, though.
Okay.
She don't know that.
Hell no. My uncle was like, hell no, we're not going to be bounty hunters. So I was like, well, I can make this into a story.
Mm-hmm.
So I had gone to Korea my senior year of college as like
a study
abroad.
Well-traveled. I like that.
And that kind of gave me the Korea edge to it. So put two and two together and wrote this, and 13 years later. So
wait, how long were you in Korea for?
Like 2 weeks.
2 weeks, okay.
So it wasn't that long, but... It was long enough to kind of see the culture and see how things were happening there.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was black, so they were kind of looking at me like, ooh, what's that? Little kids looking up at me like they never seen that person before.
Even though K-pop culture
Yeah. Yeah, let's be real.
Yeah.
I mean, it might be a little more difficult.
But it wasn't that big back then. This was like back in 2000.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
It was just starting to get that little. And plus, with social media starting to get big afterwards, it's like just blew up.
Yeah, they're all hip hop now. They all blinged out and hood.
But they color on.
They're usually behind.
They got their dance moves. I'm like, oh,
they over there.
They still doing the hammer right now.
And I'm sitting over here waiting, like, all right, come on, catch up. Come on.
But yeah, so then I moved out here. Been out here for 13 years now.
Okay.
It's like Groundhog's Day. The years just go by. Mm-hmm. Like you wake up one day and you're like 10 years.
Yeah. So when you came out here, where were you working? Were you?
I came out here. I spent the first 6 months unemployed, like most people, mm-hmm. and then I just started working odd jobs. And then I got on Everybody Hates Chris. I was a PA, one of the first PAs on the show. Mm-hmm. That didn't last very long. I realized that I'm not really cut for television. Mm-hmm. Just how compact it is.
Right.
I like movies because I like the whole idea of assembling the Avengers together mm-hmm. to come do some good shit.
Right.
And then you kind of split up and then go come back when you have something.
Mm-hmm.
So since then, I went to corporate America. And so I've been working in corporate America ever since.
Okay.
So Nokia, Nike, I work for Coca-Cola right now.
Mm-hmm. Now, what I like about your comic book, mm-hmm. number one, black woman. But not only a black woman, mm-hmm. but she's black and Korean.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to show you the picture. Can I show you the comic book?
Oh, this is good.
Because it's so cute. Like, and you could tell a black woman wrote this, because only a black woman would put this in there. I mean, you got to tell me, if you put that in there and gave the notes for your artist to put it in there or not, but it's when she has a shirt that says Seoul Korea, because you know, S-E-O-U-L for Seoul Korea, and it's like S-O-U-L, and I'm like, that's a black person.
That's actually a t-shirt that's on this, my website for sale.
What?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And you know I'm a t-shirt junkie, too.
You know what?
Say no more, fam. Say no more. But what I love that, because one of the things that I really like, because, you know, one of the things, and I hope this becomes a movie
mm-hmm.
real soon, because going way back, because, you know, this thing I have with Asian male characters and black women characters in movies that we've been here, that we have been denied.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
The romantic love stories. I'm talking about the fans that y'all remember back in the day with Aaliyah and Jet Li mm-hmm. and them. Mm-hmm. And, of course, Ninja Assassin mm-hmm. with Naomi Harris. Mm-hmm. And, of course, your boy that's over there in Rain. Oh, my God. Rain. Oh.
Do we need to open a window in this motherfucker?
Because he's known as Rain, but in the Korean where I think it's Bi. Whatever the Korean word is, like bi, that means rain. But mm-hmm. we call him Rain because that's the translation from it. And then, of course, I think of like Flash Forward with mm-hmm. Gabrielle Union and John. So there's been moments mm-hmm. where you've had like these immersions of black and Asian cultures. And here we have a character whose dad is Korean, and mom was black. And so you have this kind of merging of cultures that I think makes the story very unique. And it's one of those selling points. Like, if I was to see this, like, okay, she's an action bitch. She's doing this thing. It's like, oh, well, she's Asian mm-hmm. and she's black. And I know on Kindle, I think I saw there's a Korean version of it. Is it written in Korean?
Yeah, it's Korean. But she's actually black.
She's black. She's not Korean?
No.
Oh, my God.
She's only Korean because she's adopted. So in the beginning, both her parents are black. Her mom is chocolate.
But I'm trying to. But she gets adopted into a Korean fam, like the family.
So she's adopted. That's why she becomes a choice.
Right.
She's a Johnson.
Right.
To begin with.
Yeah. She's a sister. But I'm counting her in as part of, because she's being raised in that culture.
Okay. Yeah.
Which I love. So what gave you the idea to write? I mean, you said you went there for 2 weeks.
Yes.
But what was the pivotal? Were you sitting there and you all of a sudden you just saw this kick ass black woman?
And I love the name,
Korea.
Raven Choi. That's
Raven
badass.
Choi, come on.
That's badass.
Is that not an
that's
action?
A superhero.
It's a superhero
that's
name?
A superhero. That's badass.
Like, what was the crystalline moment? I mean, let's talk about in terms of just the screenplay itself before it became the graphic novel.
Okay, so it was just like me going over there, like being a foreigner in a different land. They treated me like family when I was there, when walking around. They're like, oh, you're so pretty. You're so cute. Come in. Come try this on. Mm-hmm. So I'm just like, mm-hmm. So when I came back, it was like, they say when you go away, you come back with a new set of eyes.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So that was kind of how I immersed myself in their culture, kind of saw what they were doing and just learned so much. So when I came back, I was like, well, how can I put myself into that? So mm-hmm. kind of like, this is kind of me putting myself mm-hmm. into their culture and kind of growing up in it and kind mm-hmm. of putting a black woman, like, it'll be interesting to see someone from a completely different country grow up somewhere else. I mean, they do it over here. People come over here and grow up here. But what about if we go over there?
Right.
What happens?
Right.
And then the whole military thing, like, when I was there, honestly, in Korea, what happened was I went there, it was a free trip, and it was a cult.
Really?
But I didn't know that shit until I got there. And so it was me and all these
college.
It is. It's
plot,
a whole other story. It's a whole other script. It's a whole other movie. But so yeah, I was there with them for like 2 weeks. And we skipped out on them and just kind of went out on our own, the people that we kind of figured out what was happening. Mm-hmm. And so there was a guy in the military that was there, stationed there, that kind of helped us get around.
Right.
So the whole military thing, them being based and stationed over there, was just like, okay, this would be an interesting story.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of where it came from, and just my experiences over there. And I wanted to incorporate my trip into a story.
Okay.
So
when just I came inspired back, I was by some writer. Reality.
Yeah, that's some cool. real stuff. Yeah.
So when I came back, I was a writer. When I went, I wasn't sure about this writing thing at that point. Mm-hmm. So when I came back, I knew I wanted to be a writer.
Wow. So. Yeah, because one of the cool things about Korea is that they're so, like, their technology, they're so high. They're almost like 10, 15 years ahead of us. And now pop culture, they might be a little behind us. But in terms of, like, technology, like, all my friends that have gone there, they're saying, like, they're almost like 10 to 15 years ahead of us in terms of their tech. Mm-hmm. So I'm hoping that with the comic books that you're going to show more of that kind of, like, espionage tech. Because, like, literally, I have a friend, a writer, Ted Chang. Hey, Ted. Mm-hmm. Whose movie, Arrival. Hey. Mm-hmm. And he was talking about, yeah, they're like.
Going to drop that.
I'm not. Hey, if you can name drop, go see Arrival. That's my mentor. Yeah, it's like they're so, that tech is so high, and I love movies that are action with women with high tech stuff, you know, and gadgetry and just being cool and kick ass. And I read the first two comics and I'm thinking, okay, I can see that I want to be in this movie.
You and my family, my whole family, right there, right? They all trying. Everybody wants to
there
roll.
Goes Raven Choi right now.
Everybody wants a role.
Everybody wants a role. I know, that's how it happens.
And you shot the little, like, a trailer for it.
Yeah, so we shot a movie for it. We shot a 14-minute short film. Okay. And that's the trailer that we put online to kind of get people to come to see the film, want to see the film in the book.
Mm-hmm.
The film is in festivals right now, so
okay.
We're waiting to hear back.
Yes, yes. Take some notes. So making the script. So you write the script. You start singing out. When was the moment you realized, I want to make it into a comic book?
Probably in 2008. I would go to comic book shops and I wouldn't see any of us or any women really. So I was just like, I think this will be a good story to kind of put into that format. And so for years I was thinking about it. And so then when Project Greenlight was happening, I had just kind of had a failed Indiegogo campaign that I put up for my project, The Gestapo versus Granny.
That so shit is hilarious. You have got to see this. I don't know how you did it.
Gestapo versus
all those old people, they killed it.
They were hilarious. They were excited.
And it's edgy, which is what I like. Mm-hmm. The the grandparents and the old people are like, well, that fucking blah, 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 blah. I mean, give me some. Awesome. That shit.
So, yeah, it's
was
the
really
Indiegogo
good.
Failed, though. Mm-hmm. And so it was probably the best thing that could have happened for me. So, it was just like, I turned that failure, and one of my coworkers was like, well, Project Greenlight's coming. You should submit something to them.
Mm-hmm.
So, I had a 2-minute trailer already done. I was like, all right, fuck it. I'll send it to them.
Right.
So, I sent it to them, didn't think anything about it. Went to Jamaica on vacation as like a way to drown my sorrow.
Right.
Go to Jamaica for a week by myself. And so, I get there, and on day two, Project Greenlight writes me and is like, oh, well, you're selected in the top 200.
Oh, that's why you did
we
that.
We need you to do a bio video of yourself, a funny bio video, and it has to be done by next week.
They say funny? So, it had to be funny?
Yeah, funny. So the next
week. But wait, what if you ain't funny?
Wait till you see her video. Okay. You know she's funny. Nobody can write that without being funny.
So I'm in Jamaica, and I'm just like, okay, I wasn't going to do it.
Really?
Because I'm like, I'm on vacation. I mean, this shit, I had a failed Indiegogo.
Shaquita,
like,
come on.
She went there mad.
I'm on vacation. I'm going to be a
shaquita.
I'm kind of
salty.
I'm trying
to get your groove. You are interrupting my groove search.
I'm over here. They're going to miss me.
Okay.
Like, I'm trying to get my groove back. Uh-huh. And so day two, I'm like, okay, what am I going to do? And I'm really good when I'm surrounded by water. I'm a Gemini. So I'm surrounded by water. I was like, okay, I can think of something. So I'm just sitting there and I was like, I'm going to do a rap video. And
you can watch it online.
Yeah,
it's good.
Okay.
And it tells you your whole story. Yeah, it's so cute.
So I was like, I'll do a bio. So I had this, I was staying in the middle of Ocho's in this cottages.
Ooh,
so I had
Ocho,
my own cottage and my own little pool. And I was just like, I can do something here because it's so quiet. And nobody bothers you or whatever. So my little pool that I had, I did like a little opening in my Wonder Woman swimsuit. Because I had all these swimsuits.
Wait, she had her Wonder Woman swimsuit.
Wonder Woman swimsuit. And it's funny because she was looking like a weird wave, and all of a sudden she turned to the camera and said, like, here it comes, bitch. Some kind of shit.
I was talking. I was talking to the Justice League. You didn't see them.
Oh, I
had these
that.
Little dogs that were like sitting there. These little wooden dogs. And so I was supposed to show the dogs. So I was like, that would be kind of weird though, because they were just kind of like wooden dogs and sitting on the other side of the pool. But I'm like, okay, I'm talking to the Justice League. I'm Wonder Woman. Shit, mm-hmm. My crew is over.
Right,
here.
Right.
Telling them what's going on. What's about to go down. So I put together this rap video with footage in Jamaica. So I spent most of the rest of my trip filming it in different places, because we stayed in probably 4 different hotels. I just wanted to go around the island, so that gave me a good backdrop with the rap video.
She did this rap talking about her life and how she went to this college and did this and did this and did this, and then she jumped to this, and it'd be like a shot of her, you know, in college, a shot of her this, a shot of the water, a shot of it was like so, but it told the whole story, and it gave me such an insight on you.
Okay.
And I think that's the first thing I watched you, and I was like, I like this bitch right here. There was some, because he started off like, you're like, it's gonna be a little corny rap, and then you just started giving him some bars, and I was like, oh, this girl can rap. You know what I mean? I was like, okay.
Yeah, okay. I work for Def Jam for all the music. Somebody. Okay, come on now.
That was
in high school though. I was a rapper.
Okay.
So, well, in my mind, I was a rapper. Nobody else. But guys used to call me. So, like, the most popular guy in school would call me, and he'd be like, oh, Hank, I want to hear your voicemail. Because my answer machine, it was me rapping over the Fugees or whatever. Mm-hmm. I was rapping about, hey, it's Shaquita. I'm right at home. But right. Give me a message after the tone.
Right. And, yeah. I'm on Lisa.
That's exactly the song I was rapping over. That's exactly the song I was on.
But so you send it in to them, and then?
Then, I'll get back. I was like, this shit better work.
Then you had to edit. Then you had to edit all this shit, too.
And I had to get it done. But, like, I stayed up the whole night, like, editing it myself and putting in the pictures. And, like, you know, that took some time and some work. So I'm like, this shit better work. And so, yeah, it was top 20. Mm-hmm. So I was like, all right. So this is cool. Mm-hmm. And it was announced. So, yeah. And then it got to the time where the top 10 were going to be announced. And it was like, okay, what's going to happen here? Because I wasn't sure. I'm like, I'm the only black person in the whole country that they've picked. And I'm like, it'll make sense business-wise to have a black person and a woman there.
Right.
I'm the only female they selected, too.
Wait. Out of the 20, you were the only female or the top 10?
Top 20, I was the only female.
So, and then the only black?
The other ones were like directing groups.
Okay, so gotcha.
Like a girl and a guy, but right. I was the only solo female director.
Wow.
And the only black person in the country out of 5,000 people.
Wow.
So that was really cool. But it was just like, okay, so are they going to pick me because I'm black? And I was kind of nervous about going,
because you don't
want to
have that
TV,
yeah.
You
don't
be the only black person. Right. Like, Effie, you saw what happened on there. I'm like, I don't know about this. And so, like, maybe a couple of days before they announced it, I was driving in my car, and I'm just there thinking, like, okay, am I going to get into this? What's going to happen? And then something told me, it was just like, you don't need them. And I was just like, what the fuck is that? Because, you know,
that was the Justice League responding back.
She has them all on the dashboard. Okay, right.
And so I'm driving, and I'm just like, what? And so then when it came down, I mean, of course, I'm devastated when it happened, because I had already started working on Raven Choi a little bit. And so that morning when I found out I didn't make it, I was like in bed, like crying in my sorrow.
We all been there.
Yeah. And so my phone dinged with like an email, and it was my artist. He sent the first 2 pages of Raven Choi. So what you see in the first 2 pages of the book,
that was it.
Standing up over the guy, and I'm just like, oh shit.
Right.
Oh my God, what is this? And so from there, I was just like, okay, let's do some more pages, because I was going to do 5 pages and try to get Marvel to do it.
Right.
And then after we got to like those 2 pages, I was just like, oh, fuck Marvel. Like,
I'll just do it myself.
I'm myself. Right. I'm about to do this. Right. So the next 2 years, we just worked on it and went back and forth. And so we have 2 books now. And the third one's, we're working on it now. So
I love it.
Because this is what I love about it. Because one, when you do the comic book, it gives you the visual. Mm-hmm. For especially like these Hollywood execs who don't want to read anyway, they can get a comic book and be like, oh, what's this? And you already got the script. Like, oh, you like the comic book? Here's the script. Make that happen.
Right?
But talk about the process, because I know years ago when I was doing the whole thing and had the artist, talk about the process of being a screenwriter and finding your artist, because a lot of people think that doing a comic book, it does take a lot of resources, it takes a lot of time, but it is doable, especially when you're doing it independently. Like, how did you find your artist? Like, what? Tell them the steps, like, what you did.
Well, I'm a little bit different, because I started a company a couple years ago called Off My Chest Tees. Mm-hmm. So I was doing graphic tees with this artist. Mm-hmm. So me and I was working with probably like 5 or 6 artists at the time. Mm-hmm. And so this was the guy that we kind of like connected, and he kind of got...
What's his name?
His name is Dennis.
Hi, Dennis.
This is in Indonesia.
She just want to know.
Oh, Dennis is in Indonesia. Oh, he's in Indonesia?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow. What's his last name?
Sapatra.
What?
I bet you he... Gorgeous. Brown. Just in Indonesia drawing stuff.
Lisa, he's just good. Took a left turn.
I was thinking. She took a left turn at Thirstville.
I'm sorry. I went left. I was like, Indonesia?
Yeah, all right.
Ooh, hey.
All
right. Do you need somebody to go pick up some pages for you? Direct flight. No.
So we had been working together on t-shirts for mm-hmm. Like a couple years. And so when I came to do this, I was just like, well, you want to work with me on this? And he was like, oh, sure, Chiquita. So like, we worked really well together. So yeah, we were going back and forth. This is his first book.
This is his first time doing a comic. Okay.
Yeah, so it was a lot of back and forth and trial and error. Mm-hmm. And so, but we worked really well together. Mm-hmm. So yeah, just hired him. I found him on DeviantArt, which where most
that's
of
the spot
are.
That you it is. Yes.
So,
DeviantArt.
Mm-hmm. I've been working with a couple of artists from there, but he was the one that stood out. Mm-hmm. And so then I found my colorist on DeviantArt, and my editor I found through a friend. Okay.
So when you since he hadn't done a comic before, did you guys like go and like just get a bunch of comic books and look and how to learn how to do panel stuff, or y'all was just like, we just gonna just put this, it looks like a comic book,
you
go.
<Yeah. laughs>
I put some words here, you put the picture right there.
Well, it's like for me, it's like, I mean, I put enough pressure on myself when you're writing screenplays, mm-hmm. and when you're writing whatever. So my whole thing with this book was no mistakes. Mm-hmm. There's no such thing as a mistake. So you can do it however the hell you want to do it.
Mm-hmm. And it's your book.
It's my book. Right. You're paying your money, so right. you can do it however you want. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I have like a collection of comic books mm-hmm. anyway, so I'd already been reading.
Good.
And he is from that world because mm-hmm. he draws. So it was like, I kind of knew what I wanted to look like. So you see those first pages, mm-hmm. it's kind of like, and then the cover too was like, I wanted to put together a cover that I hadn't seen before, mm-hmm. and something. So that, and it has a meaning behind it. So there's a whole meaning right. to the cover right. too. But yeah, it was just trial and error and just like, I'm just going to do this shit.
Mm-hmm. And I like that you went ahead and made sure that we knew black freaking, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
This is her.
Yeah.
This is her. You see her name, bitch? No, this is her face.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you wanted the kids to walk through the stores and see yeah. her face and have something to see mm-hmm. and be familiar with. That's what I like, personally.
Because, you know, it had been Marvel, they probably would have put some other little picture on uh-huh. there and kind of hide the fact, like, well, it's a black character, but we want you to get the book.
Yeah, mm-hmm. put a mask yeah. on her or something.
Yeah,
and like, I'm telling boom. You, that was so difficult because I didn't have my artist do the cover because we were working on finishing the book and he was helping me color at the end mm-hmm. before we released it. So I hired a guy at the UK to draw her. I mean, he'd done really good covers before. So, like, the whole body and everything, that was all dope. But when it got to her face... She was Jessica Alba.
I was just like,
this chick ain't Jessica Alba. I'm like, look, here's a picture of me. Look right. at my nose. Look right. at my lips. My shit don't look
and
like that.
And that's so key because one of the issues, Kevin Grievous had mentioned this years ago when I was getting into like doing my own comic books and looking for the artists mm-hmm. and stuff.
Underworld.
And Underworld, yeah. Mm-hmm. Hey, Kev. Mm-hmm. He was like, make sure you get an artist that knows how to draw black people mm-hmm. and knows how to do black people features. And skin tones
mm-hmm.
because they will say, oh, it's black, and then it'd be like,
exactly. And so this guy, he actually had the nerve to write to me and say, I want to make sure she stays attractive.
Ooh,
I was wow. like, wrong answer.
You know what? Did you put out your earrings?
Answer.
Did you?
Ooh. I just think, though, this whole process has really taught me how much patience I have
mm-hmm.
because it's like, I'm trying to get shit done. I ain't got time to cuss you out,
right.
I ain't got time to go back and forth. So I'm just like, okay, here's your money. Just give me my shit. I'm gonna have some other people finish it.
Right.
So I had my artist draw her face,
right.
and she looks just fine. And I had another guy do the background with the snow because mm-hmm. at first it was just trees. And I was like, no, I need snow. I need to be cold.
Right.
And she's hot.
Right.
And there ain't no snow on her.
Right.
And there's a train behind her.
Right.
And she don't give a fuck. She walking.
Look. Yes. She doing her directing skills. Like directing. All those skills come in the comic book.
Yes.
And it's literally
yeah.
it's the same skill set
it's,
to
can
direct.
Can you take good
yeah.
direction? And yeah. this guy, he couldn't.
Right.
He thought it was his for
right.
some reason. It's just like, no, I'm paying you.
And that's one of the key issues when if you're doing your own comic book and you're working with people, indie artists and stuff, you need to be very clear that you run the train, mm-hmm. not them. Mm-hmm. Because you'll come across a lot of artists, and I've heard other indie art friends that are making mm-hmm. their own comic books say this, like, you are in control of what the image is. And if they can't give it to you, don't let them start to dictate what your story is.
Mm-hmm.
If they're not giving what you want, mm-hmm. you are free to tell them, sorry, next.
Yep.
And one of the best advice, hey, to Kevin again, he said, you know what? There are people out there, artists who are hungry to do stuff. Have them do a couple of pages free for you.
Yeah.
Give them notes. Say, hey. And then he said the key test is when they give it to you, see how they take notes when you ask them to change some things. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Because if they can take notes and directions to change some stuff, then you got somebody you might be able to work with.
That's exactly why whenever I work with a new filmmaker and they want me to produce a project, first thing I say is, send me the script. And they're like, well, why didn't you send the script? I say, because I need to read it, mm-hmm. and I'm going to have notes for you.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I need to see if you can take the notes.
Yeah. Right.
Because my notes do not play. They go in. Yeah,
it's okay.
They go in.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I want you to be real. But if you learn, you'll be 3 or 4 years ahead of yourself if you take my notes.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know what I mean? And so anyway.
Mm-hmm. No, I mean, it's really important because a lot of times we get intimidated by mm-hmm. people. Mm-hmm. And I know when I first went to my Craigslist and DeviantArt and was looking for artists, and because Kevin had told me, this mm-hmm. is what you do, this is what you do. And I did what he said. It really helped me out because I was getting people, and they were like big name artists. Mm-hmm. You'd be surprised at how many big name artists want to do indie projects mm-hmm. because they want to do something different. They want to break away from Marvel and DC.
Break away from something else.
But it's important that they're able to take direction from you.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And if they can't draw black people or whatever ethnicity, correct, you have the right to say, I'm sorry, you not. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times I know this is what we do. We feel like, oh, the artist is so good and they're doing the work. All right, we'll just go with it. No, mm-hmm. this is your product. Remember, mm-hmm. once it goes out there, you can't take it back.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's
right. So be very clear when you're dealing with them. Ask for like two pages. Mm-hmm. Different panels, and if you don't like what you see, give them notes and see how they do with the notes for free.
This is the same thing that I work on when I'm producing something. People always ask me, "How did you get that DP? He's won mm-hmm. that award or that award, that award." I'm like, because I looked at the reel and went, "Oh, they're missing something." Mm-hmm. And I'll read something in the script is like, "There's this cool action scene, but there's no action in their reel,
right. mm-hmm.
or there's no dramatic scene." Mm-hmm. And when I'm on the phone or if I'm talking to them, I'm like, "Look, there's this kick-ass scene where the character does this. You don't have that on your reel. Mm. This is why you need to do this movie." I don't even talk about the script. I talk mm-hmm. about the scene.
Right.
And that's how I always mm-hmm. get them. People are like, how did world every project mm-hmm. you get all these great directors or whatever, these great whatever. I'm like, because I sell them on right. scenes.
That's very right. smart.
Right. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Anyway. But anywho, yeah. So back to the comic book because I'm trying to get this made so I can get my sad card. So you guys got the your artist, you did the comic book and stuff. Mm-hmm. How did you get it for the people who want to know? Like, how did you get it from there and getting it onto Amazon where people you can start getting it distribution wise?
Okay,
good question.
So Amazon, it's pretty simple, like the way they have it set up now for you to self publish yourself. Mm-hmm. If you just go up there, you upload it. They check it and make sure it's right, and then they post it.
Mm-hmm.
You set your price mm-hmm. from $2.99 to $9.99. Going back and forth over what to charge for it. Like at first, I was struggling with charging $3 for it, but then I'm just like, you know, this is quality. You know,
yeah.
Can you say that one more time? Because we do this all the time. We undersell ourselves all the time, our own value. So what was that? Did you just feel like
it was back and forth, and it's just like, you know what. This is quality. This is new. This is something I think people are going to like, and I'm going to stand behind it.
Yeah. So, what are you worth?
Yeah, right. mm-hmm. yeah, your right. worth, mm-hmm. knowing your worth.
Right.
So
right.
I had to put it up there at that price point, mm-hmm. and it's sold. Like the first couple of weeks, we were out selling Star Wars.
What? Give me something, girl.
Cool. That's what someone asked me, like, yo, have you talked about some Marvel about this? I'm like, well, I'm sure someone knows who I am. Because, like, I think it was the week of Comic Cons right. when it came out right. in San Diego. And we were, like, number one. I'm just like, wow.
Because you guys were there selling, cool. right?
Yeah, we weren't at Comic Con.
Okay.
No.
You were at some comic.
Not until this year. That San Diego was just crazy from what I hear.
That's Lisa and then maybe.
Yeah, so I'll be there this year. But, yeah, last year, the only Comic Con I've been to this year was Stan Lee's.
That's it. That's Stan Lee's.
So that one was a lot of fun. And that one's 90,000 people, so it was close to San Diego's numbers.
Right, right.
But yeah.
So you got a lot of followers there.
Yeah, we got a lot of followers. We sold a lot of stuff, mm-hmm. a lot of books and T-shirts. Okay. We had a Pussy Kills T-shirt that sold out.
Really?
Yeah, uh-huh. That's pretty cool. So in book two, you see Deisha, her brother's mm-hmm. wearing the Pussy Kills, uh-huh. so we sold that shirt there. So that stopped everybody. That's how people came to our tables behind that shirt.
They walking by, and it's like you caught there. Like what?
Yeah, they're all
coming. Let me come over here and see what that is.
What?
That's smart. Look, I want that shirt.
So
that's smart.
That brought them over to us.
Yeah.
And plus me, my big mouth. We're all like out there. Like, hey, Raven Joy, come here.
Mm-hmm. I'm telling you, that's like Sebastian when he was doing the Stranger Comics
years
ago. That's how I met Sebastian. Look, that's how he got me. I was walking through. Already got my bag of stuff, and he just jumped out and said, "You've never seen a black woman." In this, I'm like, mm-hmm. first of all, who is you? I'm trying to get the Hall H. Mm-hmm. And he just showed it to me and he just started talking to him and he mm-hmm. had something, like he had it right there.
Yeah.
And he was like, look at this. And
damn it, I sat there and bought all that stuff. And years later, you know, I see all this stuff all the time. But that's that hustle muscle.
Yeah, it is.
You know?
Yeah.
You got to do that. And that t-shirt. Yeah. And that t-shirt, please. I've been walking by there. I'm like, okay, I may not be able to wear this out in many places where there's no grown people.
It's not vulgar because there's a cat on it. So there's a...
Oh, pussy.
Yes.
Pussy. Got it.
So it's a cat with
a shank. A little nuance.
Yeah.
But so it's on Amazon. Yes. Where else can they get it?
It's on Amazon. It's on Kobo. It's on iTunes.
Okay.
It's on Barnes & Noble Nook.
Okay.
And I have it on my website, Shiro Kubik. So the actual physical copies I'm selling directly from Kubik.
Okay. So how... Because usually when people are making comic books, you have a certain run that you think it's going to go.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think this is going to be one of those comic series where it's just going to be a continuous series and we might be into like numbers of like, you know, copy number 58, you know? Or do you see like an in run and then start moving into maybe doing a different comic book?
Well, for this one, it's only six. Mm-hmm. So it's just to get the story of her. It's like her coming of age story. So it kind of ends. I can't tell you how it ends.
Okay, don't tell me yet because I got to buy the book. Don't tell me yet.
It ends at book six, and then I have two other women. So I don't know if you saw my film, The Takeover.
Mm.
At The Takeover, it's online on YouTube if you want to go check it out.
Promote it.
At the very beginning of The Takeover, my godmother is like the only person that got this. Mm. At the very beginning of The Takeover, she's an artist in the movie. She's an illustrator. And there's three women who are like on a poster. It's called Black Girl Swag. And so in the beginning credits, it kind of goes back and forth showing how they're created.
Mm-hmm.
And those are the three characters that I want to do graphic novels.
Nice.
Raven is the first. Okay. And there's another girl. Her name is
Seven.
Trying
to set them up.
Look at her.
You see?
Okay.
You see, Lauren? You're learning some shit.
It's okay.
I see you.
Just setting them up. Oh, my God.
So, yeah. So there's a couple other girls that I want to go. And then also, like, if you on the first book, you see Saviors on her shirt. There's a group of bounty hunters called the Saviors. So that's who Raven ends up joining. But they were together before she came, and they broke up, and they get back together because of her. Because she's so badass, they want to pull it back together.
Right.
She runs with them.
This is a good note for you.
Okay.
And everybody, all you bitches. Here's what I'm hearing from you that I think is so smart, which is why I made the comment that I see you as being a future showrunner or EP, whatever you want to be.
Mm-hmm.
You already are looking at the future, which I know is what you do with what you do in your business. The fact that you are already incorporating merch in the comic book intentionally is ahead of the game. Everybody else is thinking about how cool the character is
and you already heard me saying I love the t-shirt where it says Seoul Korea. She's like, I already got the t-shirt for that.
Yes,
you can go on and get it. Yes. I'm like, say no more. I take
smart.
My coins. Yes,
smart. Now, you still work at it or have a company that makes the t-shirts, or what is that?
Yeah, my company is Shiro Comics.
Oh, we gonna be talking.
So I created Shiro Comics to release the book and to release my merchandise. I mean, George Lucas became a billionaire off of the merchandise from Star Wars.
Right.
Why not follow that?
And that was a mistake that the rest of all the production companies in Hollywood studios never made again. Because they was like, he was like, can I have the... It's like, we don't care about that. We know it. And after that, they was like, no more. Yeah. Lawyers
now
put in the contract. Yes.
Yeah, they want
it. He messed it up for everybody.
Well, for me, it's like, I'm starting this on my own.
Yes. So it's already yours.
It's going to be a part of my stuff, so they don't get that from me.
Oh, my God. Can you imagine?
Love it.
Like, pretty soon, it'll be like interactive comic books. Because they were talking about how with movies and shows now, to that point where you can literally start, watch a show, you see a product you want, press pause, hit the thing. Oh, I like that shirt. Hit it. It's already in your Amazon cart.
My friend,
already having that in a comic book. Like, I want that Seoul Korea. Oh, boom. Wow. It's
Yvette is doing that already, starting to add little things you can buy. Yes. Oh, wow. I love it.
It's smart.
I love it.
Yeah,
it's
smart. One of my friends, he created the app for that, and they won the, what are they called? The little, what do they call when you go to Vegas and you...
Oh, the
hackathon.
Yeah.
So he won like $50,000 of a hackathon for that specific app. Where you're watching Star Wars and you see an item you want and you press on it, you can buy it.
So that's the future, and that's gonna be I'm gonna be Poe.
Yeah,
it's what I'm trying to let y'all know right now.
Because
sometimes I catch myself doing that now. I'll be watching the show. It's like, God, what is that shirt? Let me stop and let me go on IMDb or Google and see where that is. Because there was some shirt I wanted. Like, there's a, you know, my Japanese robot is y'all. There was a shirt I saw in something. Somebody's like short film I saw, and I was like, oh, let me go see if I can like find that. And I actually found it on like Etsy. Mm-hmm. But if it was smart, I would have been able to press that and already go to my thing. But I'm already doing that already.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I'm gonna be a hot mess when it happens.
But
for real.
Yours takes a little bit longer to go. But if you do it your way, you could just
pop. Yeah, and it's coming, people. It's mm-hmm. it's the future's here, mm-hmm. and we're all gonna be poor.
That's what they want. They're all every day's an advertisement. Yeah. Everything's an advertisement.
But I love the fact that you've created this product and you've bought your own domain name and everything, haven't you? You got your stuff tight and ready to go. Mm-hmm. So how would you, like, in terms of other people who are interested in, because I know, you know, the first thing you're doing is like screenwriting, mm-hmm. moving into comic books. So how we encourage other people out there who are listening to this right now to do what you're doing in terms of marketing and branding your own mm-hmm. stuff and doing writing in a different venue, which we talk about. Mm-hmm. You have different platforms,
always.
Whether it's mm-hmm. a screenplay and you turn to a play, or you mm-hmm. turn the play into, you know, mm-hmm. just like I think Moonlight. Moonlight mm-hmm. was a play, you know, they turn it to, you know, it'll become something else. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And how would you encourage those people who are listening to you right now? There is somebody in Japan right now who is like, I can't give up Marvel DC, but I want to make my own comic book and I want to do, what would you tell them? If they're a screenwriter and they're thinking about doing the same thing that you're doing.
If you're a screenwriter, then, I mean, I would just read as many comic books as I can, mm-hmm. buy as many, and kind of see what the format is, and then kind of forget all of that shit and do it yourself. You see that there are panels there, but that shit don't matter. You go make your own stuff up and create the next new thing.
Right. Speaking of that, how far did you veer away from the actual script in doing the comic book? Mm. And how close is it to the book?
It's very close to the screenplay because I had to rewrite the screenplay in order to finish the book. Okay. So like last year was a struggle because I was writing the book while I was rewriting the screenplay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then like the screenplay won an award. Mm-hmm. So it was like really cool to be able to say it's an award-winning screenplay now. But it's pretty close because the mediums are really close with just dialogue.
Right.
Yep. So, I mean, of course, not all of the action gets in on what's happening, and there's some things that are cut out or left out of the book. But for the most part, it's pretty similar. I try to keep some of the, I mean, it'll probably change, screenplay will change from what the book is, of course, because that's just kind of what happens. But for the most part, I think you probably get more in the screenplay, actually, because of the comic.
Well, you have more time.
More time, and then you just have panels. Right. So mm-hmm. everything has to be drawn.
How detailed are you with your notes to your artists? Because when you're doing the panels, you write the dialogue, but then a lot of times you'll give your own scene directions, like, this is what I want. Or you just said, here's this, and you do it.
I'm a fucking mess. Everybody can't handle this. That's why Dennis is so good, because I'm such a perfectionist. Like, mm-hmm. even the facial expressions, I go online and find people's faces that look similar to what I want it to look. Most companies, like, I know Stranger, like, mm-hmm. I sat in on one of Sebastian's panels at Long Beach Comic Con, and they have, like, a mood board.
Mm-hmm.
I don't use a mood board, mm-hmm. because every mood is different. Mm-hmm. So it's like, I want to make sure that their faces all are, it's not just one thing for sad.
Right.
There's ways of looking sad or pissed off. So you see Cassius, and he's mm-hmm. pissed off at Dorian.
Right.
So that took probably, like, 15 pictures mm-hmm. to get that one look. So,
wow.
Yeah, it's really time consuming.
So Dennis, when he gets your nose and stuff, he just be sweating, right? Like, here we go. And open it up. And orange.
Well, we got six years behind us, so I think he's used to it.
Okay,
now.
Okay.
But I mean, he gets it. I mean, now that we've gotten everybody drawn, their faces are drawn, so it's a lot easier. Mm-hmm. So, and I think the next book is going to be a lot quicker to mm-hmm. go through, because this one was childhood, new characters, mm-hmm. and everybody, the gang's all here.
Right.
So
right.
It's all
be
set
a little
up.
Bit easier. Yeah, it's all set up.
Mm-hmm. I love it.
Mm.
But yeah, it's hard.
I got to get my t-shirts now.
I'm very difficult. My notes are very detailed. I mean, I'm a director, so I'm like, mm-hmm. I'm like, right. this and this, and her hand should be up a little bit further mm-hmm. in the fight scene, like the choreography for mm-hmm. the dojo. That was me going through and looking at dojos. Every dojo, that's a dojo somewhere.
Right.
There's a picture of a dojo somewhere right. that he took and drew.
Mm-hmm.
So every little thing in there. I mean, even the grandma's house, like mm-hmm. you see she has a kerosene heater.
Right.
That's something from my grandma's house. on the wall, there's the picture of Jesus, the Last Supper. That was something that I had to think of. I wanted to decorate. I'm decorating everything.
Right.
I'm
right.
set decorating.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I'm decorating on wardrobe.
But see,
hair.
That's important. People mm-hmm. need to understand everything. Those little details in comic books. Because you got to remember, it's like a comic book panel. It's just like a little scene in a movie.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's detailed, you're telling a lot of story.
Texture,
yes.
You still got to have character in the background, all of of that.
Yeah, because some of the best like comic books, sometimes the panels, like I almost want to just have them as pictures on the wall because they're so, you know, intricate. And don't feel bad because, you know, what's his name? Alan Moore is like the king of extra detailed notes and stuff. Like, I feel bad for anybody who works with him. Like, I don't know how they got through with all his From Hell and all those other things. The Watchmen, I don't know how they got through with him because I saw a paper with his notes. I'm like, who, what artist, how many artists have killed themselves?
I didn't go look at that and see how to more
do
to him.
Trying to do this.
That reminds me of you and I were talking on a previous episode. We were talking about my Tulsa script. Mm-hmm. And I was telling you that when I, even if I read someone else's script, I'm more interested in the actions and the descriptions than I am about the dialogue. Because I like to read how they describe something.
Yeah.
So I could see your panels being super duper important in a comic. Because when I read a comic, I'm like, how does it look? What are they trying to tell me in this moment? You know what I mean? So yeah, totally.
Adding that extra texture and stuff in there. I love that. I love that. So what's next for you? Besides either comic book, like what's going on? What's the next screenplay? What's popping?
What's popping is I'm working on a book tour that's going to start in January. So it's going to be called Shiro Talks. So I go around to different colleges and do talks, kind of like TED Talks.
Right.
But it's me talking about building this comic book company
and
disrupting the comic book industry and changing.
Okay, disrupting.
She said disrupting. Okay. Not changing or trying to fit in. Like, I'm disrupting.
She said, I'm taking over, bitch.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. So just like, it's going to be talking to them about when opportunity is knocking, building a door. So that's what this was for me, is building a door when I didn't make it in the Project Greenlight, when nobody bought my script, when nobody gave me financing or whatever. It's just building a door to through this project, through this company. So yeah, I'm going to do probably 24 colleges, a couple of high schools. I'm probably going to do Shiro Chats, which will be like little talks in barbershops, beauty salons, and meetup groups.
I like that.
So I'm going to be all over the place. I'm looking for sponsors now, actually. So that's what we're working on, is getting some money to finance everything.
Right.
I'm going to start January regardless in L.A., just going around talking to people.
Because you're just like, I'm doing it. Come, I'm doing it anyway.
Yeah.
Like, I'm still figuring out. I'm building as I go, you know. But I love that gumption to just
and
keep going.
And that's what I've learned from this project. Because a lot of times you think you have to already be established or have everything done. And it's just like, no, you can kind of do it at the same time. And that's what I've learned from other entrepreneurs that I've talked to. It's just like, if you wait till everything's in place, you waited too long.
Yeah.
Like, you need to just go ahead and do it.
Yeah.
Use your resources.
Exactly.
Definitely. Well, that was that. That's cool.
So that's what's
you.
Next.
Thank
that's
you. That's good. That's
Thank
good.
You so much.
What about script wise? What else are you working
script
on?
Script wise, the comic book takes everything out of me. So that's why I've been calling it the year of Raven Choi. Because I'm going to spend a year finishing out this whole process. And I'm going to try to. I have a screenplay that I've been wanting to write for like the past 2 years. I've been working on this project. So I'm probably going to work on that next year. And yeah, hopefully. I mean, I have other screenplays. I've been writing for like 13 years, so I have probably like 12 or 13 screenplays that are just sitting. So Gustavo versus Granny is one that we shot a trailer for. I have Rock the Mic, which is a hip-hop. Hip-hop musical type of high school. I used to have Tiana Taylor attached to it at one point in time, but I didn't get the financing, so it didn't work out. But that's still there. So I have stuff already in the arsenal just waiting.
Damn, you have a hip-hop? Fuck. I had these big producers hit me up about 3 months ago.
Really?
Looking for a script for a huge rapper.
Oh, wow.
I can't say his name.
But we know it's a he. I had talked to Drake people about it, too. And they were like, he was interested because it's kind of like House Party and the same type of fun. And it's not really no killing or no violence, no shit. But it's just like battle rapping.
Right.
And it's a female at the lead of it.
Right.
It's like a poster book.
And battle rapping could be kind of rough.
Where
you got some verbal sparring.
My nephew Joe, who did it from the Troublesome, did that rap.
Right.
He's like number two up in the Bay Area.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Bars.
So, but I love that your female character is a MC, battle MC.
Yeah, so she's battling the dudes.
I'm trying to think, have we ever seen a movie with a battle female?
Like 8 Mile with women? Like, no.
But yeah, yes. No, have not. Okay.
No, like 8 Mile with women.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I mean, she's battling dudes because that's just kind of how you have to do in high school to go through the guys. So yeah, I was going to do Drake and Tiana, like opposite of each other, and like Little Romeo. I think I had, who did I have attached? I had Romeo attached at one point, and I had Tiana attached at one point, but it's just like, I got to keep it moving.
Right.
So it's like, you got to keep working on whatever's going to make it, and then you can go back and grab that.
Right.
Go back and grab it.
Comes.
Right.
Yeah, so that's what I'm working on.
I love it. I love it.
That's what's that.
Yeah.
So where can people find you and your website and the book?
Okay.
Repeat all that again.
So shirocomics.com. So Shiro is an S in front of hero.
She's a, like that.
So shirocomics.com is where you'll find info on the book, you'll find the trailer, there'll be announcements about the tour. I have the book for sale actually in actual locations in Beverly Hills.
Okay.
And then Studio City is a couple of places I have. So I'm being disruptive. Mm-hmm. So I'm selling it in some pharmacies in Beverly Hills.
Mm-hmm. Really?
The pharmacies? Al's Newsstand. She did Beverly Drive.
I like that.
I have it in a comic book. DJ's
Comics. Is it at Comic Bug? Can I go down there?
It's not at Comic Bug yet, but I've heard that the owner is really, really nice. So I need to go sell it into him.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I've been kind of selling it myself here and there, but mm-hmm. I'm working with Diamond Distribution.
Yes, because Diamond is dead, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm working with them. So we'll see what happens. I met a lady from D.C. the other week, and she like... She wrapped my book and was like going through it. I'm just like, okay, DC Comics.
You gonna pay for that? You gonna pay for that copy, right? Like you're kind of going through it. $5.
Yeah. So like, I'm trying to see what happens with them before I go sell it into any more comic book shops. But I just put it kind of like to test things out to see how it was working. I put it in. There's Superstar Hair and Wigs in Studio City. Mm-hmm. I have some books in there.
Okay.
Because I'm just trying to see how it sells in different markets.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah.
So I'm excited for you, and thank you for like doing it, because there's nothing cooler than like, I wish I would have had this comic book when I was a kid.
Yeah.
You know, it's one of those things where I see people doing now the stuff I wish I had, so I get excited. Mm-hmm. Like it's almost bittersweet. It's like, oh, a sad nostalgia, like, oh, I wish I had it when I was a kid. But now that you're actually doing it, mm-hmm. I'm looking forward to more big things from you. More comic books for black women and women in general, kicking butt and doing fantastic stuff.
Exactly.
Yeah. So hopefully we'll have a film deal.
And remember, don't forget, Raven Choi went that way. Come on, Shaquita.
I know.
Help a sister out. I'm trying to get my SAG card. Come on. That's all I need.
But SAG, though, it costs a lot of money, though, to be a SAG member.
Well, at least I know.
It's not that deep. But just remember, just hear me out. When you make your projects, make them SAG. There's no reason not to do it. People do it all the time. You can hire actors for $125 a day.
That's what I did.
It's not that deep. Yeah. You know, it's not that deep. So where you at, Lauren?
I am on Twitter at I am Lauren P, Instagram at The Valet Victorian, and you can find me on Twitter with my podcast, Nerds of Prey, Nerds of Prey Cast. We are on Stitcher, we are on iTunes, we are on Google Play, we are on SoundCloud, and we are coming at you again in 2017 with new episodes.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah, you guys just finished your last end of the year episode.
Yeah, we are on hiatus. Yeah, yes. We do like a little end of the year roundup. And,
yes.
See, we never do that. We just go the whole time. We be burning ourselves.
I know. Other people be like, we're going on hiatus. And I'm just sitting here looking at you like.
Well, it's especially hard now because I'm here and we're spread out between like three time zones. Right. So there was just no way to get us all together. So we just said, you know what? We'll come back in January.
We'll come back in January.
Yeah.
Where are you at, Lisa?
On hiatus? No. No, you know you find me. I'm on Twitter all the time. I'm a Twitter fiend. You can also find me on BitchFlix, writing film reviews with a kind of an intersectional feminist slant. Mm-hmm. You can always find me all the time, except for these last 2 weekends because I got caught up in my K-dramas. Saturday Night Sci-Fi. Whenever Black Girl Nerds or anybody else is having a live tweet, I'm always trying to get involved in that with my snacks, with my glass of wine, and I try to bring the snark because it's fun. And you know, I work with kids all day in the mountains hiking, mm-hmm. and I need to let off some steam and relax and just be around a bunch of grown folks who unfiltered on Twitter.
True.
That's where I am.
I just thought about something. Go ahead.
I need to tell you what my social media.
You didn't tell us that. Get on there.
BitchFlix, they was just like retweeting something I posted, a video I posted the other day.
Yeah.
So that was really cool. I'm at Raven Choi. So at R-A-Y-V-E-N Choi, C-H-O-I, if you don't know how to spell that. I'm at shirocomics.com. I'm on Instagram. I'm at Raven Choi at shirocomics as well. And on Facebook, same thing, Raven Choi Films. There's a Raven Choi page.
Raven Choi
There's
page.
A Shiro Comics page. Okay. And I have a Pinterest page now as well with Shiro Comics. So we're all over the place.
All over the place.
All over the place.
No wonder you ain't got the time.
I'm on Snapchat, too.
Oh, my God.
I think I'm a little bit too old for their demographic. Yeah. But I mean,
Raven Choi is not.
They buy books. So I'm Shiro Comics on Snapchat. Mm-hmm. I'm posting all these silly videos with little whiskers and stuff on there. So it's been kind of fun.
Doing it.
You've done more than I have.
Okay.
I've hated an Abby. That's it.
Okay.
I'm half an Abby, I don't think. I'm just on there posting shit. I'm looking like Bambi. I have no idea. I have my little cousins are trying to show me how to do it. I'm just like, what the hell is this? Like, the video goes away in 24 hours. Who made this up?
Mm-hmm. Who did this?
Yes. Who did this?
I was just thinking, in regard to the screenplay, mm-hmm. Lisa and I do this little segment we call the Don't Sleep on Them segment.
Okay.
Every once in a while, we'll read like two or three pages of like either like the popping mm-hmm. opening scene
okay.
or a kick-ass action scene without a bunch of dialogue, mm-hmm. maybe a line or two here and there.
Okay.
It's just like a kick-ass action scene that says something and goes somewhere.
Okay.
You know what I mean? So if you have some, you want to send in and let us know.
Okay.
And we'll pump
we'll
it.
We'll go in.
You too.
Yes, and we go in. Yes. Because what we do is we don't... Because what we do is we read it cold as if, you know, we're just getting it at a production and we're reading it and we're giving notes. So we read it, boom, fresh, okay. mm-hmm. with no opinion, and then we go through it and then we talk about what works, what doesn't work from the viewpoint of, you know, when we do the script.
We did it about a month ago. I wrote this action...
We should do it more, but people weren't sending us scripts. Like, give us your
chance. Well, I just haven't been asking
for it. Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Because that's like
we should
for,
do it more.
Yeah, because basically it's a cold read, and we're telling you right off the dome, like, this is what's working, and this is what ain't working.
That live feedback is quite valuable. Correct. It's something that many people do not get as often as they'd like.
That's why auditions are cool.
Right.
Oh,
right.
Why are you talking over that?
That's why auditions are cool, because you get there, and people say your lines in different ways, and you mm-hmm. start I start rewriting when I'm in auditions a lot of times.
Mm-hmm. You're like,
certain people come in, and they'll say it, like, okay, that's how you interpreted that, mm-hmm. so let me write that down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Huh.
Okay.
Exactly. So I'm your host, Hilliard Guest. You guys can find me on Twitter at Hilliard Guest. Follow the show, Screenwriters RR on Twitter. I see you, Joelle, over there.
Hey.
Looking all cute. Joelle walked in, black girl nerds.
AfterBuzz TV. Hey, people. Hey.
Any questions, screenwritersrantroom@gmail.com. Thank you, Patrick Pierre, for sitting in with us in the baby writer seat. We do a little thing every once in a while. We let a young baby writer come in and chill with us. You know, sit and listen, get some game. They ain't allowed to say shit, though. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I'm kidding. So thank you for sitting. We appreciate it. Go on Facebook. Follow us there. I'm horrible at that. Awful at that. Shut up. And what else? What else?
Your metrics. Go rate you for your metrics.
Yes. Thank you.
Get with the program. Pick them up. Okay. Go to Stitcher.
Please go to iTunes and Stitcher and all that shit. 5-star review. We really need that for the metrics. Shit like that. Y'all know how we doing in the Rant Room. I'm coming up, as you guys may have known, may have heard, in the new book, The Top 50 Indie Writers in the World. A brother made the cover. Ain't that a bitch?
Okay.
Thank you.
Brother, I'm like, who daddy? Whose man is that on the cover? Oh, that's Hilliard.
You know, you're nothing but a pimp. It ain't hard. Okay. You know what I'm saying? I'm just, you know. No, but thank you very much. That comes out Christmas. Thank you again. We appreciate it.
What's your name?
Why is she trying to go there with the Chiquitas and stuff?
Oh, come on.
Oh, good job.
I can lock it in.
Okay. Good job.
It just took me a minute.
Yay, Hilliard.
Always want to go shin. That's the problem.
I don't know why though.
People always want to go Hillard instead of Hilliard.
No, I get it. It's the most ghetto baby world.
I still love you.
It's unique. It's a beautiful name.
Yes, thank you.
Exactly. So joining with me, everybody, you know how we doing on the Rant Room. On the show, we keep it real. We keep it opinionated. We keep it what, everybody?
2016.
Peace, y'all.
Ciao, people.
Let the beast about the cage, that light about the dark. Can you build the inferno from an itty bitty spark? Coffee shop hustlers rise with the cream. A million other writers, same Hollywood dream. Your pen and paper, all like bullets in the gun. Write what you feel, say what you want. In the red room, we say what we say, we do what we feel. We gotta keep it real. In the red room, all about the crap.
So look, if you guys are grown, let's go ahead and get in. Mm-hmm.